The High Court and its judgments have shaped and reshaped the 45th Parliament, and they're not done just yet. Today, the court upheld a Queensland state law that bans political donations from developers, which it's been argued will have federal implications. The High Court has also confirmed it will hear a legal challenge from businessman and political hopeful Clive Palmer, who wants the release of the election results delayed until the polls close in WA and the Northern Territory. To explain the significance of all of these issues is really the woman we turn to on all constitutional matters to help us understand everything, Constitutional Law Professor Anne Toomey from Sydney University. Anne, welcome.
Thank you.
So the Queensland government followed the leads of New South Wales and banned political donations from developers. These laws were challenged. What was the basis for the challenge?
Okay, well, one of the main things was that the New South Wales laws, when they did that, quarantined those laws so it could only apply to donations that were made in relation to state elections. The Queensland law didn't quarantine it, so there was potentially an impact upon the Commonwealth elections because, of course, political parties like the LNP can collect money and therefore either funnel it into a state election or a federal election. So one of the arguments was that this state law was impacting on a federal election and that the state didn't have the power to do so. And then the second argument was that even at the state level, although in New South Wales it was justified to ban the property developer donations because there'd been a whole history of ICAC reports into property developers and corruption, that there was no justification for that in Queensland. Now, the High Court, although it hasn't given its reasons yet, which makes it quite tricky to talk about this, but it's given the answers, and the answer is that it's upheld the validity of the Queensland law, so it's not a breach of the implied freedom of political communication. So obviously they did justify it significantly or sufficiently in relation to corruption. And in relation to the Commonwealth provisions or the Commonwealth law, they said, well, actually, the state law is valid and the Commonwealth's attempt to wipe out the state law was invalid. So massive victory here for Queensland against the Commonwealth.
Yeah, it seems very significant. So what does it say about other businesses? Why has it just been focused on property developers?
Well, I think that's because of the history in New South Wales, property developers and political donations. There is a long experience of that being problematic. There was also some experience of it being problematic in Queensland, but not at the same level. It would appear that the High Court believes that that's justified. But the problem, of course, is we haven't seen the reasons. So until we do, we can't be absolutely certain. But we do know for sure that the High Court has said there's no breach of the implied freedom of political communication. So from that point of view, it looks like it's perfectly legitimate to ban donations from property developers. Whether or not you could extend that to other sectors like gambling or provision of alcohol or any of those sorts of areas, which are also banned in New South Wales, that remains to be seen because none of those things have actually been challenged so far.
Okay, so moving on to the other very interesting and significant development in some ways. Clive Palmer wants the Australian Electoral Commission to be blocked from releasing election results until polls close in WA. Why is he doing this?
Yeah, I was found that a bit surprising myself. Actually, it's a little bit more technical and detailed than that. So what he's actually trying to delay is not the information about the actual count of first preferences. It's something slightly different. So the Electoral Commission also gives information about preference flows in the course of the evening. And to do that, they have to nominate two candidates that they think will be the last two candidates standing in each seat in order then to have people look at, well, where do the preference flows go in relation to those two candidates? All right, so this is the sort of information that people like Anthony Green use on the election count in the evening. So what Clive Palmer is saying is that if you're the Electoral Commission and you're nominating that, say, in the seat of Warringah, you say that, well, one of the last people standing will be Tony Abbott, but then you make a choice as to who the other last person standing is and you either decide it's the Labor candidate or it's an independent or whatever. He says that that's political and that will influence the way people might vote in potentially in other electorates. And his argument is that if you're a small party, like, you know, his party, but you're getting a big swing towards you in the eastern states, that will somehow make people in the other states vote for you. But if you can't see that swing happening because you're not nominated as one of these two people in that particular seat by the Electoral Commission, then that will deceive the voters in the western part of the country when they're deciding how to vote. That's sort of the argument.
Do you think there's a valid argument that voters could be unduly influenced by the results coming in early?
I find it hard to believe, but that's probably because I'm a sane person, and the last reason I'd vote for someone was just because someone else on the other side of the country voted that way.
Because I'm a sane person. I love that answer. It's
well,
best answer,
you know,
of the day.
Don't you think that's just a crazy reason to vote one way or another? But having said that, the submissions that they put in the case say that there actually is some sort of, you know, evidence that's been collected and studied that people apparently are influenced by how they see the election results coming through on the other side of the country. So if they can actually establish that and query whether they can, so then the next question is, well, does the potential influence of voters in the western part of the country, does that somehow undermine the provisions in the Constitution that require the Parliament to be chosen by the people and there to be a genuine choice? And I think that's also a hard ask. But the other side of it is, well, if you're just delaying till 9:30 p.m. Information about the preference flows as opposed to the first preference votes, which would still be coming through, is that such a screaming catastrophe? Well, it might drive Anthony Green up the wall, but from the other point of view, it's not actually a huge burden. You'd still be getting the information as to first preference flows coming through. It would only be the stuff about what happens in relation to the two-party preferred vote that would be, you know, delayed till 9:30. And so the High Court in the end is going to have to decide, well, you know, is that a sufficiently big deal? Is there a real reason that you should delay that? Heaven only knows.
Heaven only knows. So it has to be sorted out, doesn't it, before the election?
Well, the case is going to be heard on May the 6th by the High Court. And so given that they've scheduled it in then, presumably they'll be intending to give an answer before the election day, so that the media and the like who rely on this information will know whether or not they're able to use it. But I imagine that Anthony Green and any other pundits will be on tenterhooks until that decision gets handed down. The rest of us probably don't care that much.
Yeah, look, I think the vast majority of us don't, but yes, there are some of us who are probably just a tiny bit more interested. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Okay, you're welcome.